Gary Hegarty, the self-confessed UVF multiple killer and police informer, will have to wait until the new year to find out how long he will spend in prison. He's been offered a controversial state deal that offers a significantly reduced prison term in return for giving evidence against other terrorist suspects. A court heard yesterday that Hegarty gave his special branch handlers advance information about a number of murders. The extent of Hegarty's criminal activities is staggering. As well as pleading guilty to 202 crimes, he asked that 301 others be taken into consideration. So in total, he admitted to 503 offences, including 5 murders, 5 attempted murders, 25 conspiracies to murder. In one truly shocking episode, the UVF was to decide who would kill a Catholic by the toss of a coin. But Hegarty volunteered to commit the murder in order to cover up the fact that he was a police informer. Sinn Féin's Gerry Kelly with us this morning. Good morning to you, Gerry.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning. And the former senior RUC and PSNI police officer, Alan Maines, is with us. Alan, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Alan, is this not a disgusting embarrassment as to how, a vile embarrassment as to how Northern Ireland functioned?
I think you summed it up there, just in the way you introduced the whole scenario. Here we were faced with a situation with Northern Ireland being one of the worst places in the world, and certainly one of the most dangerous places to police at that time. And I think people, your listeners, must put that into some sort of context. This system, if you recall back in the 80s, the Supergrass, the system offenders, was brought into vogue, and we had number of people taken off the streets for a couple of years, and we were preventing further loss of life. That system broke down, and then now we're faced in 2017 again. We're faced with this same system involved with a serial killer and criminal, and we don't know the test of the information itself. You know, the PPS is saying very clearly, there wasn't enough evidence to charge another 11 people and the 2 police officers who supposedly handled this job.
Alison Morris in the Irish News writes the following. She says, it makes for grim reading, 2 days of summing up the murderous rampage of police informer Gary Hegarty. And she goes on to say, coins flipped to see which UVF man got the pull of the trigger. Details of drunken binges to celebrate kicking a man to death. Victims' characters blackened to hide the indiscriminate sectarian nature of the attack. Gerry?
Well, I mean, I listened to Alan there, and what I think he didn't put in there was that this guy called him a criminal, all the rest, and a lawless, but he was a state agent. And this was a system of attack by the state, which affected, I mean, there was a conflict on, we can't ignore any of that, but that which killed many innocent people. And to look at the scale of it, because we're looking at something that interfaces now with Gary Hegarty, but if you look at, for instance, Aaron Cadwallader's book, Lethal Weapons, which is based on state information, if you go back and read, you know, Frank Kitchen, who was a British Army general, and I read it in the early 70s, to try and dismiss this in some way, you know, the scale of it is, it's estimated that maybe 1,000 of the killings was done through collusion during the conflict. And that was systemic, and frankly, it went past the police. They were on the front line, as he says, and they did this. But there were policy people behind them who told them and who allowed them to do it. And then they, in turn, allowed these loyalist killers to be proxy killers for the state. I mean, that's what we're looking at here. And the difficulty we're facing today for victims, and the victims who spoke for themselves, is that, you know, this guy is going to get off with murder. But to other people, the people who handled them, the people who allowed them to do it or instructed them to do it, are going to get off scot-free. And that is the history of the legacy issues here. And it's what we're facing. And if you look at Loughlin Island, I mean, if you go through a whole series, and I don't want to go through a whole series, you've already, I think, yourself dealt with many of these, Stephen, on the on your show. So it is a huge impact on the issue of legacy and on what the state is going to get off with, and certainly what handlers of these loyalist killers are going to get off with.
By no means, Gerry, am I in any way minimising what Hegarty did. But if this was a war, what were the rules of that war? Were there any rules?
Well, you're saying if it was a war, so you have to work out whether you decide to start off on that basis or not.
Well, because some people, because it's not what I'm doing. Obviously, some people, and let's not get caught up in this. Obviously, some people would not see it as a war, but were there any rules of engagement?
But you have to work out. You see, the state has said that they are the good guys. They're innocent. They are there to protect innocent people. They continually say that. And yes, of course, it was a war. But you need to work out. I mean, what the discussion today is, and we've had discussions about all sorts of aspects of this war, and I've had them with you. But what is facing you today is that the innocent people who were killed by loyalists, mostly Catholic and nationalists, but Protestants as well, who were killed by loyalists and who were killed by state agents, is that acceptable? And certainly to most people out there, and to the state itself, look at the state, many people have been on continually to say, if somebody has broke the law, if somebody has killed someone, then the full weight of the law will be on them. But I could list you now the number of state forces who have ever been charged, and I can also tell you how long they did in jail. Now, there is a suspicion amongst many people that the Hegarty saga has been set to fail. And the fact that, the handlers will not appear in front of court and will not be tested in court is what is affecting people the most. Not just because it is Hegarty, but because this was a systemic process. Because I don't know what Alan will say, but I've heard people on before talking about bad apples and all of that. We need to get past that. You know, you can read about this stuff most recently in Lethal Allies. But I'm saying to you, if you go back as far back as Frank Kitchen, the British Army, he set the template for this stuff. And he also wrote an orbit, I forget exactly, I think it was called A Bunch of Fires or Fist of Fires, which actually give examples of how they did this in some of the colonies that, and some of the places abroad that the British Army was involved.
Alan?
Well, it's interesting to listen to Gerry, and I guess that's the Republican sort of take on all of the past. I mean, where Gerry was sort of taking life, we were there to save life, and that was one of the priorities.
As were the RUC, which you were involved in.
Well, you know, if you want to talk about statistics, you know, the RUC charged in the Troubles what, nearly 11,000 Republicans and 8,000 Loyalists for terrorist-related offences. You know, let's put this in context. We went into our work every day in our life with our uniforms on. We were proud to do that. These guys like Gerry and everybody else and the Loyalists and the Mount Vernon guys sneaked around in alleyways and waited for vulnerable people. We were proud to be police officers. We didn't join the police to be counter-terrorist officers. We joined the police because we wanted to join the police to serve the public. People forget that. We've got torn into this.
Loyalists to commit crimes, to commit murder.
Well, do you know what?
That's what we're talking about today.
You want all these independent bodies to regulate the PS9 and the RUC, and you've got them. And now you're not happy with the PPS. You said there's not enough evidence to go to trial. I mean, you can't have your cake and eat it here.
Well, there is a systemic process, because before we had Hegarty, we had the Stewart brothers as well, of course. And nobody went to jail because of that as well. You see, the question to you, with due respect to you, and we can, you and I can back this back and forward, and we will disagree with most things in terms of this, but that's fair enough. But the question to you is it acceptable? Was it acceptable? and did police have handlers which they allowed or instructed to carry out killings?
Well, that's, you know, Jerry, and I know what the issues are, and I know what Westbrook declared the press, but here's the bottom line. Of course, we had informants. Let me finish, please. Frankly, we all agree. Let's let Al make his point, Jerry.
Yeah.
Okay. So here we have a situation where we had 30 odd years of conflict. Of course, we had informants, and in fact, you know what? The fact that we had informants helped society continue and get to where we are today. That's a fact. You know, would we have got to anywhere close to where we are now in a normal peace? I don't think so. I don't defend the use of informants. It's an unfortunate the way that we had to do it, and it was very effective, as Jerry knows. We put a lot of provisional IRA people away behind bars, as we did loyalists. So, you know, it's unfair to portray the RUC, PSNI, now as being a sectarian-type police force. I just don't agree with it, and I never will agree with it, because I was in it, and I actually did witness bringing people into court through hard investigations, through putting our own lives at risk, seeing our own colleagues killed. Yeah, you know what? I would do it all again, but maybe in a different way.
With respect, you said on the one hand that you would not defend the use of informants and then defended them. Ironically, I mean, most people will probably understand that informants are used and are still used in police forces and services throughout the world. But you ignored the question with respect. I said, was it acceptable? And there is a difference. I mean, remember, there was the RUC, and then we did go through patent to put together the PSNI. So locking them together is not necessarily a thing to do. But the question that I put to you, frankly, was it acceptable for the RUC, special branch, whoever, special units, for that matter, in the British Army, FRU, MRF, et cetera, to set out to kill people which involved killing innocent people as well? Because you're saying that you went out to...
What did the IRA set out to do?
There's a no, and fair play to you, Stephen, it took you 5 minutes to get there, but I have been on the programme many times, and we'll hear it again, by the way. I've been on the programme many, many times to talk about the IRA and what it did, and of course it was a military force, and of course it killed people in a conflict. And that is not at dispute here. But what we are talking about today, and Alan is an ex-police officer, what we're talking about today, and I asked him the question, was it acceptable for the state force, which was the RUC and its various branches, and indeed the British Army, to use loyalists to kill innocent people? I mean, that's the question, because that's what we're facing.
And Jerry, so that I understand, did you expect, and is it still your position, that the state should have acted with a higher bar than the IRA?
What I'm saying is that the state itself, right till this day, claims on a daily basis almost that it would not accept the type of things that we're talking about, that it did not use shoot to kill. We now know there was a shoot to kill. We now know that there was collusion. They dismissed it and denied it for years and years. And I think, I may be wrong here, but I think I've heard Alan on before talking about, certainly heard other ex-police officers on talking about, bad apples. But the point I'm making to you is it is systemic. I mean, to answer your first question, and it is a different discussion, but fair enough, when I was in a military force, obviously I was involved in the conflict. So I acted in those as military people did. Totally unacceptable to Alan Mains and others, but that's what happened. I have never, ever tried to deny that. But what we have here is, frankly, a denial, or maybe Alan wants to answer that question.
Was that the state
was killing innocent people and allowing other people to kill innocent people as part of what they saw as the war, or not the war, or whatever they want to call it?
I will clearly answer that. And first of all, you talk there as if it's an offensive to me, the fact that you were in the military wing of the IRA. I think it was offensive, Gerry, to the people of Northern Ireland.
And I think it was offensive to be in the RUC, but there you go.
No, but let me finish. Just let me finish, please. The RUC, as it was then, was thrust into a situation, not by their own making, by people like yourself, who had a cause, a motive to make an All-Ireland, if that's what you want to call it. Now, I'll answer the question in relation to about should informants be allowed to go out and kill. I'm on record, and very clearly on record, to say if there was ever criminality with any police officers, with any army, or anybody related to that, then they should face the rigours of the law. Very clearly on record. Not about bad apples.
Well, do you accept the majority of the MRF, Alan?
The vast majority of the are very proud to be members of that police service and police force, as it was known then, and the PSNI. We made that transition across to satisfy and pacify people like yourself because you wanted a sort of a
more...
you
think it was the wrong thing to do? It was the wrong thing to do then. You did it to pacify me, as opposed to... it was done.
I said people like you. People like you.
No, people like me. But you did it to pacify people like me, as opposed to that the Patent Commission was the right thing to do. That we needed a new.
Under no illusion, I never wanted to lose the Royal Ulster Constabulary name.
So you disagree with Patton?
There's a lot of things I disagree with.
It's a straight question. Do you disagree with Patton? Because
many recommendations he's talking about here. There's vast numbers of recommendations.
Well, there was 175 recommendations.
Yeah, so under that, it would be very naive for you to think that I would agree with them all.
Well, do you agree in a general sense that Patton was necessary?
Well, I mean, you know, they decided to give the RUC a bit of money to go away, like, as if, you know, go away and do what you have to do, move on.
So, frankly, just to be clear then, to go back to your point around, you know, the things had to be done, that the RUC was thrust in this situation, et cetera, et cetera. Then
Gerry,
to go back to the point.
Do you, Alan,
do you agree with the MRF, with the FRU, do you agree with the collusion? Do you agree that it was acceptable to use loyalists to kill Republicans or innocent people? Because, I mean, fair enough, if that's your point, then say it.
But it's not my point. It's not my point. What did I just say there?
Do you? Let me ask.
Let's let him answer.
Will you just let me answer, please?
You've avoided it, Alan.
I've said to you very clearly here, if any member of the security services were involved in collusion. I'll tell you what, we're pretty poor at it. With the number of people that we charge in the loyalist community with, you know, crimes and terrorist related.
You were pretty poor at it, and that's
your allegation. Now, what my point is, it's very clear. Well, you're talking. It's very clear. I'm saying to you, if any member of the security forces was involved in collusion to kill any member of the public or anybody else for that matter, then of course they should stand trial. Do you know what?
Do you believe any were?
The PPS, I would let the due process take place. I'd let the PPS turn around and say, is there evidence to go ahead? If there is, then let's do it. If there's
do you believe that there was collusion?
It is a pretty strict question, Alan, isn't it?
Do you believe there was collusion that led to the murder of innocent members of the public?
Well, until I see people charged with it and brought before the court, then at this moment in time, I think we're in a situation. Well, no, Gerry, I was in charge of the criminal investigation department.
But Alan, to be fair, you must have a view here on whether you feel it happened. That there was collusion, systemic, which led to the murder of innocent members of the public.
I would be very disappointed if I seen a police officer in court charged with that and convicted. My department, criminal investigation, as Gerry knows very, very clear, was charged with bringing these people before the court, terrorists like Gerry, putting them in before the dock and putting them in before the court and letting the court make their mind up. I spent my life doing that over 20, 30 years. So, as far as I can see, answer my question, or sorry, me answer the question, I didn't see any
collusion at all. I'm hearing about it now, but I didn't see it.
But do you accept it now, then?
Well, how can I accept it when I didn't see it?
No, but, I mean, there is evidence that...
Jerry, I can tell you now that the response from some of our callers this morning are wondering why I am not saying to you, this is very, very rich of you to be putting these questions to Alan Baines this morning, when you supported an organisation which killed many innocent people, which planted bombs under cars, which planted bombs in city centres where there were men, women and children. And it is incredibly rich of you this morning to be giving Alan Baines this type of treatment, given what you supported.
Well, you have said it, and you will remember, I presume, that I have been on your programme on many occasions, including your TV programme, debating this very subject. But I mean,
which brings me back. It does bring me back to the question, Jerry. Did you expect the state to have a higher bar than the IRA?
I will come back to that. But let me say it. See, you invited me on with Alan Mains, who was a member of the IEC. And, you know, he says what section of the IEC was in. I was simply asking the question, well, as a member of the IEC at that time, or even now, looking at, you know, Lachlan Island and looking at, you know, any number, you know, Nelson, looking at, you know, I presume he's read Kitson's book, et cetera, et cetera. Does he accept that collusion was used? And do you want to give whatever answer you give and all of that? Now, to go back to your question, you see, it is the state themselves and it is the families who have asked for a process. My view of all of this, rich or otherwise, is that I went into a negotiation. I thought that the best way to deal with this was through what was agreed at the Stormont House Agreement, which took many years to agree, by the way. It is the British government themselves who have not moved to assist. Everybody's talking about the victims. This should be victim-centred. All the parties have agreed that we set up these institutions so that there can be a process. And by the way, which takes it away from the police today. And the chief constable himself wants it taken away from the police today because it is impacting on them as well. And set up the legacy structures. But what is the British government doing about it? They continually promise to put this out, to set up these structures. They are the ones with the DUP in the background who are refusing to set them up. And then maybe there would be a systematic way, not different court cases, but a systematic way of trying to deal with the legacy, which affects so many right across the board, which involves, of course, on the unionist and nationalist stage, and will also involve the police and relatives of police and relatives of other combatant forces, but also many, many innocent people. That's what needs to be done about it. I am on here because I'm pleasing spokesperson for Sinn Féin. I agreed with Patton. I agreed with the transformation of policing. As Alan said himself, he will never agree 100% with anything. Well, sure, he will.
My question, though, Jerry, is did you and do you expect the state to act at a higher bar than the IRA did?
Well, I don't expect the state to do anything. The state has claimed, and Alan has just repeated it there. I mean, Alan's mantra is the same as the state mantra. You know, if there is something wrong here, if something illegal has been done, then bring them in front of the courts. But here's the reality. There's something like 7 people have ever been in front of the courts. But I can tell you, 25,000 estimated nationalists have been through the courts and into jail. So that's the difference that we're talking about here. And we have all sorts of evidence about collusion, all sorts of evidence. We're not talking about guesswork here. We're not talking about the fact that Alan could never have guessed that in all his time within the RUC. We're talking about the evidence that's sitting there. And frankly, Alan can read that evidence as much as anybody else because that's what people are doing. And where are they getting the evidence? They're getting it out of state documentation, right? So you can't have it both ways.
But Gary, you and I, you know, let's boil it down, but bring it right back. You were on the other side, so to speak. You were the one that was trying to, the terrorist, you were the one that was threatening people's lives in the streets of Northern Ireland when we were there to try and defend Northern Ireland.
Well, frankly,
just let me, I know you didn't, but let me finish. Just to make a point, I would appreciate that.
So therefore, we used informants, and we used them very effectively, because a lot of informants are probably unsung heroes as well, because they prevented a lot of loss of life. So then we got to a situation where the provisional IRA knew, and I don't care what you say, they knew that the time was up. It had to go into negotiations. And how did it get there?
Now you're into politics, now I can say...
Hold on. You've dabbled into the politics with Patton and what have you. So let's just go down that line. So here we had a situation where I believe, and it's my opinion and that of many others, that you talk about victims. We've all got victims in both sides, and you quite rightly said that.
That's right.
How do we move forward from this? How do we move forward that you won, we won, I won, you won? It was never about that. It was about the anarchy that you guys caused, along with the loyalists as well, who retaliated over a lot of...
Retaliated? Oh, so loyalists are just retaliators now?
Let me finish.
Do you remember that the loyalists carried out the first killing?
Let me just state very clearly, when you went out and your organisation went out and did something within the public and killed people, whatever the case may be, you know, we sat there and we thought, my goodness, this is going to lead to some innocent people getting killed as a result of this. And sure enough, it happened. So yes, you can take the blame for a lot of the deaths that happened in Northern Ireland, whether it was directly or indirectly.
I didn't deny that the IRA was involved in many of the deaths during the conflict. But frankly, what you're saying is that the police were not. And just, I mean, we shouldn't go back in the history, because what we're going off the subject, and I'll have this ability at any time you want, but you're going off the subject of the question of Haggerty and whether the state, through the police service, but there was people above them, policymakers, it goes right up, in my opinion, to the British cabinet, had policies of shoot to kill, many of which involved state forces, but also involved agents of state forces through the loyalists.
Well, obviously, any members of that cabinet would emphatically deny that.
Yeah, I know they would emphatically deny that. That doesn't matter. I'm still saying
nor do you have any evidence to suggest that is true.
Yes, there's loads of evidence to suggest that is true. And if you go and look at the evidence, you'll find that as well. But that aside, right, these decisions were taken as far up as Maggie Thatcher. Now, but let's go back to the police and what was involved in state agents here. See, the discussion today started off and then went off into this political arena. It started off today. Was it acceptable for state forces in the police to do this, and then for them to get off of it, right? And there will be no...
Maybe that was a form of an on-the-run letter.
Well, I mean, it's just you being clever, to be quite honest with you. If you want to talk about...
You're talking about people getting off with stuff, and you're the man that supports on-the-run letters.
Yeah. Here's the difference, and all you're doing is driving us into away from the subject, which you do quite cleverly. The question that I was brought on to talk about today was about state agents killing people at the behest of the state, and their handlers who knew about it, you would argue allegedly knew about it, are getting off, frankly, with murder. That's what the difficulty is here. That's what the core issue is here. That's where the faith in victims and survivors, probably right across the whole victims and survivors community, are looking at and saying, you know, this happened. Most people, because of evidence, not because of any discussion you or I or Alan will be, but because of the evidence, well, now I believe that there was a shoot-to-kill policy, that there was state forces. And remember, this goes up beyond the Good Friday Agreement. And that's very important as well.
And Alan,
this is in the 90s, you know, and this is in North Belfast, and this is not the first one of these loyalists.
And finally, Alan Mains, do you not think that some people will find it incredible that you're saying this morning that you weren't aware of any collusion while you were a senior officer within the police? That you weren't you weren't sitting back thinking, how's that happening? You weren't aware of it at all, Alan.
I have to say to you, on reflection, at the time, no, I was too busy to think anything else.
Too busy.
But listen, and I mean that in a constructive way, we were flat out the latter part of my police career with loyalist feuds, with killings and whatever else.
But let me just go back to Jerry's point.
Well, no, before you do so, though, Alan, you say you were flat out. So yeah. We all know how we work. No matter how flat out we are, we have our moments when we are going home or whatever we're doing, and we're thinking about our environment, the world we're in. And you're saying you never, ever had a sniff of any collusion whatsoever. None.
Well, just remember, Stephen, this is years past now that this has all come to the fore. You know, it's not the first time informants would not tell you the truth. They wouldn't tell you what they were doing. You know, and it was a very, very difficult process for the handlers to handle these particular people because of the nature. I mean, my goodness, you're talking about Haggerty. He's got 503 cases pending, you know, some taken into consideration and 300-odd, you know, they assessed a sentence to. So, I mean, that's that. You're talking a serial killer here. You're talking a serial criminal. You're talking about a guy who...
You're talking about a state agent.
Yeah, you're talking about a serial person here in terms of whatever.
But a state agent, I mean...
But let's go back to what Jerry was saying there. You know, there's a number of Republicans on the streets today.
So the state recruited a serial killer?
Who haven't. Well, I don't know if they recruited it and it became that. I just don't know the answer to that. Now, I have to listen out and, you know, I have to say that the PPS are the independent for the public, and they decided there was not enough evidence. Just like many times when we had Republicans and Loyalists charged, and we couldn't get them before the courts because they hadn't enough evidence. I think a lot of people are missing that point. They haven't got the evidence. Now, what Jerry's saying there very clearly, produce the evidence, and I'll answer his question, and I'll leave this thought. If any member of the security forces was involved in any criminal activity that led to the murders, then they should stand trial and they should get the evidence without going trial by jury or trial by the media or anybody else. Let's use the same threshold as we did for Republicans and Loyalists and bring them before the court, and let's prove it beyond reasonable doubt.
Alan, thank you. Jerry, nice to talk to you this morning. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed.